Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer.
Thank you, Jesus, for this beautiful morning that we're having together today. Thank you for letting us be here to worship you. Father, we just pray that you would be with Pastor Cal. Just let your words flow through him today, Lord. Let your spirit be present and fall among all of us, Lord. And we just thank you so much for your endless love and your endless mercy. And we pray this all through the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
All right. God bless you all. Aren't you glad you're here today? Hallelujah. I've got about 20 minutes to preach a 30-minute message, so y'all are in trouble. No, we're not good. I always feel, not pressure, but I'm always aware of the folks taking care of our children. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, give me your name and we'll put you over there with the kids, okay? So we need to get done here around 9:30. So anyways, if you have a Bible or some other type of biblical device in your hands, be finding Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. And in lieu of time, let me just introduce the message. We are in this is the third sermon on a series that we're calling a breakthrough in witnessing. I'm praying that the last 3 months of the year, we'll have a breakthrough here at Second Mile Church in witnessing. And 2 weeks ago, we talked about about the command that Jesus, Greg quoted the verse, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the command that Jesus gave us. He said, you shall be, not you might be or hope that you will, but you shall be my witnesses here in Clarksville, here in the state of Tennessee, here in North America, and all around the world. And then last week, we talked about the work of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit in witnessing. And so this morning, I want to talk to you about the power of a personal witness, the power of a personal testimony. And, if you're saved, if you're born again, if you're a child of God, you have a story to tell. And if you don't have a story, there's something bad wrong. Because Jesus loves us too much to leave us the way we are. And so all of you have a story to tell. And you need to get to where you can share this personal story of yours with others. That's why we're still here. And you don't have to memorize a ton of scriptures. If you'll just get that story where you can share it in a couple of minutes, man, you can get it out to everybody every day. Now, a few months ago, we had, around a few years ago, our North American Mission Board had an evangelistic push called Who's Your One? Y'all remember that? Yeah. Two of you do. Three, four, okay. Who's Your One? And we asked, who is the one person that you would most like to see come to faith in Christ? Might be a family member, maybe a friend, maybe a classmate. Who is that one person you'd really like to see come to faith in Christ? Well, guess who put that person on your heart this morning as you're thinking about it? God did. And He wants to use you and your personal testimony to bring them to Christ. Somebody say, wow. All right, I'm gonna read a bunch of verses to you this morning, so we won't stand. But here's the first thing: there are three elements in a personal testimony that you need to get down in your heart and in your spirit to share. Now, we've got the poster child in the scriptures of somebody who knows how to give a personal witness, a personal testimony. His name is the Apostle Paul. And the setting here is, and I've been there, and several of the folks that have been to Israel with me have been there, is down on the Mediterranean Sea. And Paul gives his testimony to King Agrippa there in the amphitheater that overlooks the Mediterranean Sea, a gorgeous place. And so Paul gives a witness for Christ there. And it's right here in Acts chapter 26. And here's the first thing that you need to know. The power of a personal testimony is so wonderful and so sweet because you begin by telling folks what your life was like before you knew Christ. What your life was like before you got saved. What your life was like before you came to know Him as Lord and Savior. Look at verse 9 in Acts chapter 26. Here's Paul speaking to King Agrippa. He said, "Indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. And I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities." And so Paul begins to share his personal testimony. He was a man who was zealous in the Jewish faith. He was a Pharisee. He was a member of the highest Jewish Supreme Court in the land. And he was very, very zealous for the Jewish faith. And he hated this new cult called Christianity. Actually, they called it the Way. Isn't that cool? Y'all are a part of the Way because Jesus is the Way. Yeah. And so what Paul did, at that time he was Saul of Tarsus, what he did was he would get letters of authority and accommodation from the chief priest, and he would come to your town and he would have folks arrested for being a part of this cult. He would have them in prison. He'd have them thrown in jail. In some cases, he would have these Christians, these believers, beaten. And in some cases, as he mentioned, he said, "I had them executed. We put people to death." Saul was what we might call today a terrorist. That's what his life was like before he knew Christ. Susan will remember this. I grew up in a Christian home. My mom and dad were believers. They used to haul us to the early service at First Baptist Church. And we would sit there, me and my four sisters and my dad, and watch Mom play the piano there at First Baptist. I remember it like it was yesterday. And they had us in church on Wednesdays and Sundays. We were there. They read the Bible to us. I mean, at dinner time, they taught us how to pray. I grew up in a Christian home, but you know what? I was lost. I would disobey my mom and dad. I know y'all can't believe that. But I would disobey them. They'd tell me something to do, and I wouldn't do it. And then when they asked if I did it, I'd lie to them. What does the Bible call that? The Bible calls that sin. And my sisters, I had four gorgeous sisters, and I was mean as a snake to them sometimes. What does the Bible call that? And all you had to do to get me in trouble, Bubba, down at Barksdale Elementary School was just double dog dare me to do something. And so my life before I knew Christ, I was a sinner. And I was going to have to pay for my sins. So that's what my life was like before I knew Christ. See how simple that was? And then here's the second movement in a powerful testimony. Number two, how you came to faith in Jesus Christ. How you came to realize your need and how you came to Him. How you received Him. How you became a believer. That's a very important part of your testimony. Look at verse 12. Here's what Paul shares. He says, "While thus occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, along the road I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me, saying in the Hebrew language." Did you know God knows your language? Yeah. Woo! "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads." So I said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and the things which I will yet reveal to you." Paul was on his way to Damascus to have some Christians imprisoned and jailed and beaten and scorned and ridiculed and mocked. And he was there going to Damascus to persecute believers. And he had those letters from the chief priest that gave him the authority to do that. Well, about noon, this tremendous light blinded them and knocked them down off their horses. And Paul found his face in the Damascus dirt. He was blinded. It was the Shekinah glory of God. That's the brightest light in the universe. And as a matter of fact, Paul was blind for a few days after that. And then all of a sudden, Paul heard this voice. And it said, "What are you doing, Paul? You think you're being..." I'm putting this in my, you know, the Cal Hampton Standard Version. "What do you think you're doing? You're working against me. You're persecuting me." And Paul says, "Who are you?" "Duh." And he says, "I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting." Have you ever stopped to think about that? When people speak against the Lord's folks, they're speaking against Jesus. When they come against the church, they're coming against Jesus. When they persecute the people of God, they're persecuting Jesus. Think about that. How dangerous that is. And then Paul asks him, "What do you want me to do?" Isn't that a great question? He said, "I have come to you. I have appeared to you." Now, this Shekinah glory of God is shining. And all of a sudden, this voice, who is Jesus, speaks to Paul. He said, "I've got a plan and purpose for your life, big boy. I want you to be a witness for me to the Jewish people and the Gentile people." He said, "I've got plans for you. You're going to be my witness of everything that you have seen and heard." Paul met the risen, resurrected, royal Savior on the Damascus Road. And he never got over it. He had a bad case of "I can't help it." And Acts chapter 22 and verse 16 tells us that Paul received the message, he repented of his sin, and he trusted Christ and was baptized. I was a 9-year-old boy. We were down at Montgomery Bell State Park. And my pastor, John David Lida, was at a church camp. Us kids, that's bad grammar. But we were on the hillside there overlooking the lake, and he was down on the dock preaching. And you know what he was preaching, Greg? He was preaching about the prodigal son. Susan, was I not the prodigal son? Now, Shan, I didn't ask you. And man, I got under conviction about my sin and how I had rebelled against my parents and my God and everybody. For the first time, that really got me. And on my way back to the cabin that night, man, I was troubled. Troubled. The next night, we were back at 19 Lacey Lane. And I told my mom and dad what was going on in my heart of hearts. And that night, they came down to my basement bedroom and sat down beside me. And my dad said, "Son, you need to ask God to forgive you and save you and surrender your heart and life to Him." And that night, 60 years ago, I gave my life to Jesus. Hallelujah. That's how I received it. And here's the third part. Here's the third part. What's your life been like since Jesus came into my heart? Right? What's your life been like since you've been converted? Listen to what Paul said. Verse 17. "I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you." This is Jesus still talking to Paul. "To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me." I want to tell you, Saul of Tarsus, the Apostle Paul, he got a big bad dose of Jesus. He got saved. And you know what? Folks around him began to understand that he was different now. And Paul won thousands of people to faith in Jesus Christ. He mentored young preachers and young pastors. Man, he started dozens and dozens and planted dozens of churches. He went on 3 missionary trips. He wrote 16 out of the 27 New Testament books that you've got in your hand today. And Paul, when he died, he was in a Roman prison cell, chained to some soldiers. And you know what Paul's doing? He was being a witness of the things that he'd seen and heard. I get weepy thinking about this, but after I was saved and born again, things went pretty well for a few years. I grew up in church and, you know, we did all the right things. I started growing as a Christian, but along about 12, 13, I started really getting into playing ball. And there ain't anything wrong with playing ball. I learned a lot of good stuff playing ball. But you know what it did? I found myself eventually, first thing I would think of when I woke up was, what time is practice today? And if it was a ball, I played it. And then when I'd go to bed at night, I'd be thinking about the next game I was going to have. And athletics became my God in high school. And then when I got out of high school and started off to college, I didn't have a whole lot to fall back on. But thank God Jesus never left me. I would try to pray at night with him, to him. And I just finally give up because I was so guilt-ridden and ashamed. I'm here to tell you, as a 25-year-old man, I surrendered afresh and anew to Christ. In my old bedroom upstairs, I'd been gone for years. And you know what? God heard my prayer, and he restored me. And I stand here today as your pastor telling you, I wake up surprised every morning. But I'm so thankful for what God's doing in my life. I don't know how many years I got left, but I want to say this to my son and my wife. I want to finish well. I don't want to do something stupid that would mess everything up, that would mess up 34 years of ministry. I want to finish well. Because I want to, when I see Jesus, I want to hear, son, you made your mistakes, but well done. You've been good and faithful overall. Come on in. Enjoy your salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got a story to tell. And bless God, it's a sin to keep it to yourself. That's why God has you here. You get to where you can share those 3 points of your salvation, of your story, and I want to tell you, God will bless it. He'll use it. I don't know who's your one today. Who is that one person you'd really like to see saved? God can save anybody. And if you got one of those Gideon New Testaments with you, you can give them that Bible too. And then they've got the Word, and they've heard from the Spirit. Father, forgive me for the things that I haven't said, that I should have said. And forgive me for the things that I said that I shouldn't have. So I just pray you'd bless your word today. God, that you would set us free from this old selfishness. We've got the greatest cure for the greatest problem in our lives. And for us to keep it to ourselves, that is a horrible thing. Help us to share Jesus this week, especially with the ones we love and know. And Lord, if there's someone here today that does not know you as Lord and Savior, I pray that right now the Holy Spirit would convict them of their sin. And that by faith, they would turn from their sin and be so sorry for it that they would turn to Jesus as their only means of salvation and call on him, surrender to him as their Lord. If you're here today and you need to do that, man, we'd love to lead you. through a prayer, help you. You can do it right there in your seat. We want to get some stuff in your hand. If you've got questions, the war room is open. We have counselors back there. But you do what God's telling you to do. Maybe you want to hit the altar today and ask God for power. Ask God for strength to share your story. Lord Jesus, hear us, we pray. Do what only you can do. In your name we ask it. Amen. Brother Andrew.
Amen. Let's all stand and sing.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.